24-10. That was a game nobody needed to wait for. The Rough Riders lose to the Calgary Stampeders. And it was, I know it's going to say 425 yards passing by Trevor Harris. Jeez. But can we just assess the first half? Because the first half was the story. It was 17-3 at the half. And the Riders were being completely schooled. Vernon Adams Jr. had 300 yards passing. I tweeted out all the stats from that first half.
Time of possession.
That's the one.
Net offense. Yep. Net offense, 367 to 95. Rushing yards, 86 to 3. Time of possession, 21 to 9. 19 to 5 on first downs. That was after the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 17 to 3, and the 14-point lead stayed that way no matter how many yards Trevor Harris passed for tonight. That effort, after what has gone on over the last near 24 hours, pathetic by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Calgary handed them two turnovers on their first two possessions. Saskatchewan didn't get a first down on either of those two possessions. Turned it right around right there. They thought they were just going to have everything gift wrapped for them. And everything should have been in Saskatchewan's favor today after last night's cancellation, hey?
Well, you think the home team got to sleep in their own beds. The stamps they had to find and make do with whatever they could, right? And, you know, it was awful, fellas. It was the O-line sucked. The D-line sucked. The secondary, who's covering number 80 offered for the Stampeders?
Nobody,
right? And the Riders, they just came off of a bye week.
Yes, yeah.
They're well rested. They should be prepared.
They're still resting.
The game was over in the first half. That was it. And they never recovered.
The first possession in the second half, they go down the field, score a touchdown. What next play? 81-yard touchdown to Damian Alford. And then there was no scoring after that.
Yep.
That was it. Zero scoring. So you can throw for all the yards you want to, and Trevor Harris, it'll read 425 yards, couldn't finish in the red zone, and couldn't come through on key third downs when they needed to go for it. It was that was brutal.
He had no zip on his ball today. It wasn't a Trevor Harris game. I'm wondering, you can say 400 yards. He was horrible today, I thought. I just didn't think. Yes, he completed a lot of short passes that were meaningless, but didn't put the ball in the end zone and just didn't have any zip on his ball the way he usually throws it.
Well, and I think, you know, when I look at the stamps, the way they kind of blitz there, you know, it was one time for sure, guy comes off the edge and cleans his clock. And
yeah.
I don't know if he ever got right after that, to be honest
blitz.
With
what's,
you.
What's a blitz?
Oh, when you bring more than one.
Does Saskatchewan do that? Ever?
Nope.
Never. Did they use it maybe once, twice?
I would say the stamps. Oh, have done it once, but the stamps, they were bringing heat. They were mixing things up, and they were attacking the line of scrimmage at the point of attack. That was the difference. When you look at the Riders' O-line, it was just stagnant. No, like there was no push. I had been getting used to push and everything. To me, I thought the Riders, their identity was running the ball. They severely got away from it. I think Olette. What you said in the first half, that 3 yards rushing?
Mm-hmm.
When the last time that happened?
Not this year.
Not this year. That's what I'm saying. I thought that was identity, was to run the ball. They got away from it.
I guess Tevion Tate might be their most valuable player.
Yeah,
left guard.
Maybe it finally has gotten to the point where the offensive line has held on for so long, but the Calgary Stampeders continue to be the surprise of the Canadian Football League. Who had them at 4-1 and who had them beating the Bombers and the Riders in back-to-back weeks this early in the season? Nobody did, except for the guys probably in the room of the Calgary Stampeders being led by Vernon Adams Jr. Now, that's a 400-yard game I can get behind. 428 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. He did throw 2 interceptions, but Vernon Adams could have got 500 yards, except they just started running out the clock at the end of the game. But the fan line is open at 1-877-332-8255 here on the Green Zone postgame show. Rider Nation, what are you thinking after the delay? A lot. Hey, How many people showed up today? That felt like, what, 15,000, 16,000
yeah,
in there?
Yeah.
Now, on the shady side, everybody started to move to the shady side because they were sitting in the sunny side going, wait, there's a lot of empty seats on that side. I'm going to move. So it felt like half the stadium was empty and the other half was full. I thought it was an impressive turnout for those who came back from out of town to go to the game. Unfortunately, the team you cheer for,
they didn't come back.
They weren't coming back. 1-877-332-8255. Keith, get us started on this Saturday afternoon. What did you observe tonight?
Hey, gentlemen. Well, I guess this is the conclusion of my 30-hour football weekend in terms of from what I left Saskatoon to when I'll get back later tonight. I think what I'm disappointed at, I have not been this disappointed in the Riders since the game 2 years ago when we lost to Hamilton when Mr. Reed passed away during that week. It was a complete no-show. No team except the 48 Stampeders has gone undefeated. So we're going to lose a game here and there, but it's the way we lost. There's everything that worked for us so far this season didn't work tonight. But I'm going to leave you with three quick points. Number one, my game ball was to Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson. Last night, you guys gave us more information than we got from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. You gave us more information than we got from the Canadian Football League. I teach university at the University of Saskatchewan, and I might be able to do 3 hours on a topic before I got a tap out. Gentlemen, you gave us 7 hours of coverage yesterday, and I applaud you for doing that. So kudos to you folks. Number two, I heard a lot of comments on social media that fans who were in the stands, and yes, I spent 4.5 hours in Mosaic last night feeling bad for us. It wasn't all that bad. There's free Wi-Fi at Mosaic. I submitted my quarter two income tax installment to Revenue Canada while I was sitting in the stands. And also, let's look at the big picture. What was better for Keith? Was it sitting 4.5 hours watching nothing on the field or sitting 3.5 hours watching the garbage that I had to see tonight? So, again, yet Friday's game was a much better outcome than Saturday. At point number three, I'm going to leave you with some stats. And Jamie, you know where I'm going at with this. For whatever reason, whether it's playing our backups, the smoke game. In the new Mosaic, the Stampeders are 8-1, 8-1 versus Saskatchewan. They have our number whenever they play in the regular season in Regina. And number two, what's really concerning me right now is I have seen this movie since the year 2021. Over the past 5 seasons, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are 17-3 in the first 4 games of each season.
Keith, you're going to have to repeat. So 17-3 in the first 4 games of the season, then you cut out. What's the rest?
And then the rest of the season, we're 17-35-1. Ooh. We are plus 14 in the first 4 games. This year we're 4-0. We are minus 18 in the last regular season games of the season. So I think this is where I'm looking for Coach Mace. I'm looking for the Rider leadership to step up. Because I don't want to see 2021, 2022, 2023, and 2024 all over again because it's really getting frustrating having these euphoric beginnings to the season, and then we hit turbulence. We're like the Titanic hitting an iceberg.
Well, Keith, I always appreciate you giving us the call. You're one of the dedicated fans, as there are so many around Saskatchewan. Even if you didn't go back to the game, you're still a dedicated fan if you were waiting around last night for that one. And good stuff, and thanks for the compliment of us. We appreciate it. That's what we get paid to do here on the Green Zone.
I love the line, too, that last night was more fulfilling than today if you're a Rider fan, because at least nothing bad. You know, it wasn't great last night, but they didn't get embarrassed by what happened today.
Yeah, today was, I said it stunk, man. It was.
I haven't heard that for a while.
Oh,
if you're Coach Mace, you are
livid, man. Oh, you have to be.
I would think.
He kept his composure. He usually does.
He's pretty solid.
Yeah, I know, but something.
Well, once in a while, you have to be a firecracker sometimes, yes, don't you? Do, yeah, man. True enough.
So, 24-10, the Rough Riders lose to the Calgary Stampeders after the Stamps had to sit and sleep in dorms last night, and some guys weren't even together. Yeah. They had other guys sporadically around the city in hotel rooms, thrown for a loop, and they're the team that shows up tonight while the Riders slept in their own beds. 1-877-332-8255. 855 is the fan line. Dallas, what are you thinking this afternoon?
Well, you know, what a garbage game. You guys already said this. Absolute trash. Like, just nasty trash here. And I want to see Corey Mason, his post-game interview. I want to see him give some attitude. Like, what was his name from Toronto that was really fired up? Ryan Dinwiddie
wants some heads rolling.
What was his name again?
Ryan Dinwiddie, the head coach?
Dinwiddie, yeah. I want to see some fired up, because the last time that I said this, Corey Mason is too nice. He's got to get fired up. No more of this dunking in ice water for punishment. No, he's got to get fired up. Otherwise, I'm starting to lose faith here. You know, I got to give Keith and, you guys as well, because had I known you guys were doing the pregame show, I didn't tune in because I didn't, like, realize that was a thing with the delay. So definitely shout out to you, echoing a lot of key sentiment. I got to give a huge shout out to Keith and all the fans that attended there, because like we've been saying all this time, we will never tell anybody not to attend a game, but the showing that our team gave the fans after this, trash. Absolute trash. The Stamps exposed the Riders that if we don't have a running game, Trevor Harris looks like a lost puppy dog out there. That's the first thing I noticed. There were 9 points on field goals that were missed. One Lothar missed at 53 yards. Now, keep in mind, this is prior to the last moments of the fourth quarter, which we're going to get into. Two, that Corey Mace chose not to go for field goals, which, I mean, regardless of Vernon Adams Jr.'s production, he should have gone for the points, in my opinion. And then, of course, in the final 3 points, Lothar couldn't complete at 36 yards. This is why I say, guys, like, Lothar, gentleman and scholar, the guy sucks. Like, you cannot rely on this guy. And this has been a reoccurring theme. And I just said a simple 3 games. Can this guy go at least perfect kicks for 3 games? We had 1 game prior to the bye where he did his job, and what did he do? He failed. Like, he cannot. Maybe I'll give a free pass to the 53-yarder, but 36 yards, this guy is not our guy. Our defense was clearly tired midway through the third quarter, and they were on the field based on Calgary's time of possession. We still have an issue with player conditioning because of our injuries. Now, hopefully Super Mario is going to be okay. Joe Robustelli did fantastic. I have to give a credit where it's due there. But again, we're missing a lot of our key players. Player conditioning, Daryl, we talked about this last year, and I think we're still suffering it this year as well. Bottom line, you guys, to finalize my point, we need at least one win in the Labor Day and Boundary Bowl games against Winnipeg to split, hopefully, because even at that, much like Keith said, it's going to be repetitive 2021, 2022, 2023. This is what I'm seeing as well. It's the same rinse and repeat crap where, I mean, if we can at least, assuming we win all these games leading up to the Boundary Bowl and the Labor Day Classic, we have a small chance of hosting the West semifinal or competing in the West semi, assuming BC or Edmonton doesn't get on track to overtake us. Absolutely disgusted. And I'll tell you what, this will be the first time if I don't hear Corey Mace get fired up and frustrated in this post, or like in his post game interview, I am going to, like, this will be the first time ever I'm going to criticize Corey Mace in the next time I call, because he's starting to deserve flack, much like Craig Dickinson did. Corey Mace, he better put up or he better shut up. Thank you, gentlemen.
Dallas, thanks for the call. We'll see what Corey Mace does.
What do you think he's going to do? I think he's too mellow. Mellow. I don't think he's mellow.
I think he's calm.
Okay.
But we have seen not mellow Corey Mace at training camp.
And at practice,
lose his mind, call practices short, haul him into the locker room.
That's how he gets his once over.
Yep. But he picks his spots very strategically, and you wonder, Belton, is this one of those times?
Is it one of those times? That's a good question. And I'm just going based on the performance. I saw Jack All out there today. Nothing, right? And for a team to come back from a bye week, you're fresh, running around and everything, and that time of possession in the first half, defense is going to get tired if it's lopsided like that. I don't care. You can have 20 guys rotating. I don't care. And it was a little warmer out there, I think, right? And I'm still on board with the Riders. I don't know what I saw today. Honest to God, I don't know what that was. Never expected that at all. From the Stamps, I would have. Not from the Riders.
That was the team we were thought would come out flat with all the stuff they went through scrambling to find accommodation, but they were a lot more ready to go tonight. Led by Vernon Adams Jr., 428 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. He did throw, his first pass was an interception, then he threw another interception off a tip at the line of scrimmage. But outside from that, Vernon Adams Jr. was phenomenal.
Funny, we say one quarterback threw for 400-plus, great game. The other threw for 400-plus, horrible game. Trevor Harris.
One guy was up by 14 at halftime with 295 yards passing. The other guy only had like 88 yards passing through the first half and only put up 3 points. And then scored one touchdown in this on the first drive and didn't score any more after that.
It had no possession. You're right. 21 minutes to 9 minutes, basically, in the first half. Calgary hit the football. So tough for the Riders to score without the football.
As we continue here on the Green Zone post-game show, I saw Jared's line drop, but he did call back, so I want to go to you next, Jared. What are you thinking tonight?
Oh, I'm just not sure what Dalton smoked on Friday, but it was quite a party, I think. No, I was just wondering
about chicken legs.
Yes. no, I was just wondering, like, where does that guy really go from that? Yes, let's skip the first loss out of the game, and I was glad I actually got called in and got to hear Dallas have his rant because I was just waiting for that. But, like, what do you do with the game so I'm off this? Like, do you just burn it and just say, okay, guys, like, let's get our head back in it? You know, like, yes, we have a good team, but we haven't won anything yet. So, you know, it's kind of like there's a scene where the iron meets the grit or something like that because, you know, Calgary, they had to sleep in dorms and stuff like that, and it just our cushy feather beds didn't really help them at all.
Belton, what do you think? I don't think this is a game you burn the game film. That's not one of those ones. This is a game you
calm over. You what now? Calm.
You comb over it. You got to look deep in this game film on what happened.
Exactly. You have to, and because the only they just had a bye week, so you're not going to burn that and get rid of it. And you know, the one thing, especially on the defensive side, I know we talk about, you know, to give. Well, it's time to stop giving, man. Like, there were gashes out there. Alford, I'm looking at this guy, and I know, Jamie, you talked a little bit about how decent he was. I'm like, this guy's the second coming of somebody out there. What the heck is going on, right? And it was just continually over and over. And even the D-line, there were times Vernon Adams, he got flushed a little bit here and there. But the Rider defense a lot, they never could get him.
Nobody
like,
tackled
they
him.
Couldn't.
Yeah. Nobody like, tackled Dedrick Mills, the running back, either. It was lazy.
Dedrick Mills.
Yeah.
I think the Stamps could have ran the ball the whole game. Oh, they could have done whatever they wanted to do.
All day. Today. Yes, they absolutely could have. When you're tackling, you have to want to tackle. And it looked like they didn't want to tackle the Rough Riders today, which is the first time, I think, this season that we've seen that.
And it is. And I don't – even the old line, like, it just – there was no push, right?
No fire.
In the past, I just saw, like, the O-line just, you know, 2-3 yards, like, just pushing. It's almost like a, you know, like a glacier or something, just moving the ground, right? They were able to move and everything. This game, it looked like the Stampeders said, okay. And they just came up and punched them right square in the mouth.
1-877-332-8255. Jamie and I, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson. This is the Green Zone postgame show. Your thoughts after a 24-10 loss. The Riders get their first loss of the season as the Stampeders roll in a postponed game at Mosaic Stadium. That's line one open for you now on the Green Zone postgame show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson. As it was a air quality postponement, kickoff 2 o'clock, the Stampeders showed up. The Riders did not. 24-10 came out flat. Stamps led by 14 at the half and finished with a 14-point win when it was all said and done at Mosaic Stadium today. Let's get right back to the fan line here on the Green Zone as David. Dave, what are you thinking tonight as the Riders suffer their first loss?
Well, that was quite a debacle. Certainly wasn't worth waiting for. I think
What really gets me is we had 12 days basically to get ready for this game. The Stamps had 6 days, and their coaching staff took our coaching staff out behind the woodshed and gave them a complete kicking. We were out-coached, out-played, out-everything, and it started with coaching. At first, I didn't even watch most of the second half. I had enough. I agree with Keith there. That was on my mind as well. That was the worst game I've seen them play the first half since that George Reed game. That was embarrassing. And I did watch, and I didn't notice, I don't know if he played in the second half or not, but I didn't notice Carey in the game at all in the first half. And AJ, I think, was averaging less than 1 yard on his carry, so I'm not sure why they wouldn't have given him a shot at it. And, it was just a terrible game. I don't think the Riders are as bad as they showed today, but I'm really starting to question if they are as good as a lot of people want to make them out to be as well. I think before this is all said and done, they're going to be maybe a 9 or 10 win team and fighting for maybe third place, especially if the Stamps keep – if the Stamps are what they seem to be, they're going to be a tough team to catch or keep up with.
But that's just it for me, though, David. If the Stamps are what they are, the Rough Riders lost to the best team in the league today.
Well,
so okay, what's saying they're not going to be able to beat everybody else?
Well, I mean, they could if they bounce back, sure. But, I mean, I don't think I look at this defense the way that people are talking about this is one of the best defenses in the league. I don't see that. I mean, good quarterbacks cut this defense up consistently. Drew Brown did it when he played. We played against two backup quarterbacks and were fortunate maybe to win those games. Against Arbuckle, we needed Mario Miracle to win that one. And against the BC, they had their backup with Rourke in the game. Are we better than BC?
Well, we're going to find out. We're going to find out next week.
Exactly. We're going to find out. Thank you.
Yeah, right on, David. Always appreciate your time here on the Green Zone postgame show. Is this one of the best defenses in the league, Belton, for the Rough Riders?
Are the Riders one of the best?
Yeah. Do you still think this is one of the better defenses in the Canadian Football League?
I still do, Jamie. I really do. And, you know, today, not so much. But when they, I mean, you look over to, well, even last year, right? They were one of the better teams at stopping the run, right? They've always been good at stopping the run. Today they weren't. But do they give up a lot of passing yards? They give up a ton of passing yards, even last year, this year. The only thing I think I didn't really see today is them, you know, making Vernon Adams move around a whole lot. Vernon Adams, he was able to sit there in the pocket and was able to, you know, do what he wanted to do. Did the Riders get out schemed today? 110% for sure they did. They were out schemed. How does Alfred, or what's the receiver there, number 80 for the Stamps, run downfield? Nobody's around for what, about 10 yards, 15 yards?
That ball wasn't even perfectly thrown. Uh-huh. That was a little bit, he had to stop and wait for it. And he still had room to pull away
right
on that 81-yard touchdown.
Ricky Corner, right? Antoine Brooks Jr. was playing there, and we said that they were going to pick on him. Big
he
surprise.
Got picked on.
Yep. 1-877-332-8255. As we go back to the fan line, we have that line now open, as David says goodnight. Les! I'm happy for the family members who had a family reunion and a wedding to go to rather than this game today.
You got that right. What a complete train wreck. And I'm glad the Riders just completely got wiped out today. They needed this. They absolutely needed this. They thought this was going to be a cakewalk. And I don't know, but if that's what sleeping on plywood does, it doesn't wear you out. I'm going to get a sheet of plywood and start because, man, oh, man, that had to have hurt. And those guys looked like they were fresh in comfy beds last night. They wanted it, and they wanted it bad. And the Riders just come out completely sound asleep. Trevor Harris, he couldn't pick up a cold if he tried. Either that or he still got it. I'm not sure. But Lothar, complete train wreck also. Robustelli, he had a good game. He's the only one. And I Ouellette, Harris had him standing off at the side there lots of times, wide open, and Harris never even caught a glimpse of him, never even looked. He didn't have that focus in the game tonight, I didn't think. O-line was horrible. D-line, all the way through, terrible. I don't know. I sat and watched it, and I shook my head, and I thought, well, I guess it is what it is. But thanks, guys, for doing what you guys did and doing today. You guys are going to deserve some time out.
we'll start those negotiations, Les, on Monday on that front. But thanks for the call, Les. Yeah, it wasn't pretty today. It was not pretty. And when he references plywood, he was referencing Belton Johnson remembering sleeping at the dorms at the University of Regina. Weren't their most comfortable beds.
They weren't, man. And it was literally on plywood. And I was talking to one of my other Rider alumni buddies there, and he remembers that those days. And he's like, I think they had like a little mattress on it. I said, well, I didn't feel the mattress at all when I slept on them. So it was all plywood for me.
They were a little better. I talked to the Calgary broadcasters at halftime, and they stayed at the same dorms. It's the newer dorms. It's not the Luther dorms. So they said the rooms were actually pretty nice, that they were pretty happy with them, that they got maid service or shampoo and stuff in there.
Oh, wow.
So it's better than we thought, but it still put out the Stampeders. And when we left last night, and even when we showed up again this morning to do our pregame show, we thought, boy, what a great advantage the Saskatchewan Roughriders have, sleeping in their own beds, being able to do their own routine. And meanwhile,
I changed my score because of...
I did too!
You guys.
Yeah, you did too.
Yeah, we all thought the Riders had it in the bag.
Yeah.
You know what? They thought the same thing.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone postgame show. 24-10. The Stampeders hand the Riders their first loss of the season, as there's now three teams at the top of the West with only one loss: the Riders, Stamps, and Bombers. Lorne in Saskatoon, what is your thoughts this evening?
Well, I think the coaching staff is to blame for this game, because they obviously didn't allow the Riders to go home. They stayed in the dressing room overnight, because that's what they looked like when they came out pretty flat in that first half. But anyway, there were a lot of things that went wrong there, and big turning point in the game, besides the opening whistle, was Brooks. I know he's inexperienced. I get all that, but the first thing that a corner has to do is look at the receiver. Why are you looking at the quarterback? That was a big turning point, because the Riders just scored. It was now a one-possession game, and Calgary took that away instantly with that 81-yard catch and run for the TD. So I don't know. There's a lot of other things, and I don't want to come down too hard on Mace, because he's done a lot of good things, but I don't get the third downs. They're that close. You take the 3 points. You know, you took those 3 points twice. You're only one possession away, despite how badly they played. And not only that, but looking forward, they only play Calgary twice this year. You've got to be looking at what happens as a tiebreaker. And I don't think they looked at that at all.
Well, Lauren, I can understand. I don't mind them going for it on third and three, deep in Stampeder territory. You kick a field goal, and Stamps have the ball at the 40, right? Like, that's a big switch of, you almost flip the field for them, and you're still down by two possessions. You score a touchdown, even get a first down on that third and three deep. But Darryl, you were pointing out, why isn't Tommy Stevens running that play?
Oh, gosh. Tommy Stevens has a 4.3-yard average per carry. They're third and three on the 9-yard line. Just give it to Tommy Stevens. They got Meanwhile, they got Trevor Harris lined up in a shotgun, gets flushed out of the pocket, and he ain't going to run for anything there.
He didn't.
Later on, and the reason that we're talking about the points differential, which is the tiebreaker, that's why they attempted that field goal late in the game, right? Because they're cutting it back. They only played the Stampeders twice this year. So the points differential in the – if the Riders win the next game, they have to win it by more than 14 to get a tiebreaker, and that's what they were thinking of for the kick and the field goal. But the concerns about Brett Lauther are raised again, right?
They have to be.
Yeah, you have to be, of course. Yeah. You know, a 52-yarder, that's tough, but – You know, perfect conditions, you make those, right? 36-yarder? How do you miss a 36-yarder? And he's missed a few from that length this year. So
I think it was 44.
Or 44, okay.
Yeah, but whatever that was still that was a makeable field goal.
Of course it is, yes.
That's a chip shot.
You should, in this day and age, yeah, it is. So they were just horrible today. It's really kind of mind-boggling to think that they were as bad as they were. Everybody had such expectations, and as many of our callers have said, some of the fans came back, but the Riders didn't.
As we continue here on the Green Zone postgame show, 24-10 is the final. The Stampeders come out of Mosaic Stadium after a late night postponement and heading back to Calgary with another win and top billing now in the CFL West Division and top billing in the entire Canadian Football League. Take another time out. That line just got filled up. So we have a packed house here on the fan line here on the Green Zone postgame show. We very much appreciate your patience. We do need to take another time out, but we'll get right back to your calls. We'll get to the play of the game. We have Corey Mace audio coming back from Mosaic Stadium. We'll see if he makes Dallas happy and rips the team or not on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. We are back here on the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Canadian Football Hall of Fame reporter Daryl Davis, and Grey Cup champion Pelton Johnson with you on this now Saturday evening. Just about 24 hours ago, we were on the pregame show getting ready for this game. And then it got postponed, and the Rider fans, you showed out. Impressive how many people came back for the game today. Not impressive, the football team you cheer for. 17-3 at halftime, and that could have been 27-0. That was an absolute pounding by the Stampeders in the first half, and not much changed. It was pretty well even in the second half for those two teams, but it's still a 24-10 loss for the Riders. Sheldon, thank you so much for your patience as we got a full jammed line of calls. What are your thoughts on this afternoon's loss?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I just want to point out one thing first before we start. I am a Calgary fan, huge Calgary fan for years that lives in Regina, always has. I just want to point out that you gentlemen, with your prognosis on this game at the start, about how Ouellette's going to run for this, and maybe you guys can run over exactly what you said. Belton, you were totally wrong. You could probably cook a roast perfectly on a smoker, but your prognosis in this game was totally wrong. Jamie, yours was wrong. Daryl's, yours was totally wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there is nothing worse than Rider fans sitting in this province and say they are the best when you guys continually talk about how good they are because they're 4-0. The last 2 years, what are they, were 5-0, 6-0?
No, they were never that. They were never that.
Stumped out every year. Yet all you guys do is talk about how good they are. To every Rider fan in this province, I'm telling you, you guys are terrible.
Thanks, Sheldon.
Oh, man, Sheldon rubbing it in, man.
How'd the Stamps do last year, Sheldon? How'd the Stamps do, bud? Everything good? Yeah. The Riders are the best team in the Canadian Football League until today, and we just said this, now it's the Stampeders.
Yeah.
That's what we said. Mm-hmm. We call it as we see it. They're 4-0. My God. 1-877-332-8255. Love when Bomber and Stampeder fans, they talk the talk when they win a game, but then they hide under a rock the minute they lose one. Did Sheldon call it? Oh, of course you did, because the Riders still can't beat the Stampeders at Mosaic Stadium. That's ridiculous. Six straight, 8-1?
Yeah, 8-1.
The new mosaic.
Yeah, the only one, the Riders won the 2021 Western semifinal here, right? They beat Calgary here.
Oh, regular season. They did win the playoff game.
Yeah, but no, 8-1. I think 8-1 overall is what they said, right?
That's only regular season.
The Stamps on the Riders.
2018, the Riders did win a home game against the Calgary Stampeders.
But that's the last time they've beaten Calgary at New Mosaic.
In a regular season game. 1-877-332-8255. Yeah. Taylor in Saskatoon, or heading back to Saskatoon. What are you thinking and pondering about the green and white after today?
Sorry, is this you guys on?
Yeah, you're on.
Yeah. Well, I guess I got a reply to that Calgary fan before I get going here. Buddy, you get again what she said. Remember where you were last year. So, you know, and let's keep in mind who your quarterback is. Give it a few games and the guy's going to start choking. Because that's his regular go-to. So the guy should go move to Calgary, honestly. What are you doing here anyway? Second of all, I want to make a point, guys. I got to ask you a question. What was our O-line doing today? That's number one, because we should have, in my opinion, one of the best O-line in the league right now, or close to. And man, poor Trevor Harris, man, he got rocked a few times. And I think, my opinion anyway, which is obviously not going to be nearly as close as correct as your guys's, but I think that definitely played an impact on Trevor Harris' game today. And the other thing I want to ask, too, is a Rider fan. Everybody knows if they watch football and they're passionate like I am about the green and white, right after our bye week, we seem to go on a big losing hump. And that's a concern for me right now. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm sure you guys can understand about PTSD and things like that. What's your take on that?
Well, it's interesting, Taylor, because I went back and looked. You can only go with Corey Mace after a bye week. I don't like looking back at Dickinson after a bye week. Different coaching staff. Last year, they had 3 bye weeks. They won after their first bye week to improve to, was it 3-1 or 4-0 or whatever it was. And then Trevor Harris got hurt. And that's when, and then they broke their losing streak. It was a winless streak, 7-game winless streak. Then they had a bye week. Then they won after that bye week. And then their next bye week went into the last regular season game, and that's where they benched everybody against the Calgary Stampeders right before kickoff because the Bombers clinched first in the West, and the Riders knew they were hosting the West semifinal. And then they lost that one. So last year, it does look like Corey Mace can game plan after a bye week, but it looked like Dave Dickinson took him to school this week.
Yeah, I know Drew Remenda likes to say that you never outcoached, but sometimes you are outcoached. You're out-schemed, especially in football. And Belton, that's what you were saying, that the schemes, Calgary knew exactly how to attack Saskatchewan's defense, right? They know that Saskatchewan doesn't blitz, you know, they go between the zones on your pass routes, how to slant through there and bounce your runners outside. And they did that effectively, especially in the first half.
Well, especially when the Riders were on offense trying to run the ball, right? Like, I saw the Stampeders. I don't know if they look like they will bring in 2-3 more to kind of fill gaps and fill some of those holes. Just to fill the holes, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when your O-line does not get pushed, if it remains stagnant or gets pushed back, that's going to screw the running back up. O-line, you have to get pushed. This is the first game where I saw that O-line, it either was stagnant or they got pushed back a bit, which screws the running back up right off the hop. So, and I think with the Stamps, okay, let's shut down their run because, let's face it, Ryder, what he was first in the league, Olette, 347 yards rushing. That's their bread and butter. The Riders can run the ball. They can. You stop the run, let Trevor Harris beat you. You know Trevor Harris, he's going to get rid of that ball quick. 1-2-3, it's got to go. And
it wasn't tonight.
And he actually held on to the ball like a couple times for 5-6 seconds.
That's covered sacks. So
exactly.
Stuff, right? Pretty good coverage.
And that to me, that's the scheme. Like, okay, stop the run, let Harris beat us. Harris could not beat them today. The Stamps did what they came in here to do. They were the better team today.
Stamps only allowed, coming in, a league low 21 points per game.
Yeah.
And they've gotten even better. They only allowed 10 today. Yeah. So that average is dropping even more.
And when you get
a, what a turnaround by this Stampeders team, by the way.
Well, yeah, after last year.
And if there's offense, if you can't get in rhythm, man, that's tough. And then, don't let me talk about the Rider defense. Just holes out there.
Yeah.
I'm sitting up there looking up high. Oh, that guy, he's wide open.
Boom. Oh, they're burning out. Boom. Wide
man,
open
he's wide open.
Receivers today.
I ain't talking no Trevor Harris, no 7-10 yards. I'm talking about 15-20 yard throws with ease. You cannot have that. You have to blitz. You have to do something to get somebody off track. That's what they did to Trevor Harris today.
Yes, they did. They blitzed. Saskatchewan doesn't rarely blitzes. It's Corey Mace is the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
We've criticized that before. They're so conservative. They zone defense. Yeah. Four-man rush, once in a while a three-man front. But blitz, what's a blitz? Yeah.
You have to mix it up.
And that's how they've won games in the past, right? Blitzing late in the game. Jameer Thurman coming. They weren't close enough to try that today, but they should. On occasion, when you see how effective Calgary was against Saskatchewan, wouldn't Saskatchewan think, you know what, maybe we should blitz Vernon Adams once in a while?
A novel thought.
Yeah, novel thought.
Too late
thought. Now. Too late now.
As we continue here on the Green Zone post-game show, let's go to Brendan next. Brendan, your thoughts on a Riders 24-10 loss?
Hey, gentlemen, how's it going?
Great.
Hey, I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you for the coverage over the last 2 days. That was pretty impressive.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Secondly, as a fan who sat through the debacle last night, the stadium was bumping yesterday. What a disappointment in terms of production on the field today. Hats off to Rider Nation for coming back out. Real cool. That leads me, though, to my actual talking point that I wanted to talk to you guys about. And when is it time, as a head coach, Mr. Mace, time to relinquish the controls of the defense to a real defensive coordinator? I think Mr. Mace is a great head coach. He's obviously very good at bringing in player personnel. But this defense just does not look in tune. It doesn't look prepared. We give up way too many points. It was way too easy for the Stamps to march the ball down the field today. I'm curious to know your guys' thoughts on whether or not a head coach can be both a head coach and a defensive coordinator at the same time and expect to have a defense that's going to take you on a playoff run, never mind a Grey Cup contender.
Daryl is waving his hands and the legs, and he's got, he might be waving his every part of his body at me to talk first to respond to Brandon. But let me start. No, I'm kidding.
Who's Calgary's offensive coordinator?
It is Pat Delmonico.
Is it? Does he call the plays? No. I thought Dave Dickinson, the head coach, does the play calling, right? Basically, he's the offensive coordinator. So a head coach can handle both. But I've asked Corey Mace this quite often about whether he wants to be, if he's going to continue as a defensive coordinator. Because last year, I thought there were some flaws in his head coaching calls because he was so enthralled with the defense.
Yeah.
He says, I really like calling the defense. He still plans somewhere along the line to turn it over, maybe to Joshua Bell, the secondary coach. He might have turned it over to Sherritt, but Sherritt left and is now Edmonton's defensive coordinator. So there might be plans down the road, and if they keep playing like this, maybe he'll make those plans, but I don't think it's going to happen this year. I think he's, at the very minimum, Corey Mace will continue making the play calls on the defense through this season. That's where he's made his bones, right? That's what's made him a head coach, is how good his defenses are. He doesn't try new radical things very often, and I don't think that's because he's a head coach. That's just his philosophy. You got to beat them by throwing and throwing and throwing and running and going downfield. Today, Calgary did a tremendous job at it. I can't, in my conversations with Corey Mace, I can't see him being ready yet to relinquish that title.
I'm trying to think how many coaches don't call plays. Well, Mark Killam.
Yeah.
Mike O'Shea.
Yeah.
Bob Dice. And I think that's it. because Dinwiddie, Milenovic, and Moss, I do believe, call the plays.
Yes.
For the, all those. They're all offensive.
Offensive guys, right?
Offensive guys. Corey Mace would be the only defensive.
Buck Pierce, too, right?
Yep, Buck Pierce calls his plays.
Yeah, but the only defensive head coach who calls his own plays is Corey Mace.
There's not many defensive
coaches. Michael Shea is not bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he was never a defensive coordinator. He was always a special teams coordinator.
Yeah, but his background is as a linebacker is special teams and defense, right? So he could, but yeah, not many defensive head coaches. So, but I can't see Corey Mace doing it. Maybe in the offseason, and he wants to make sure Joshua Bell's ready. Joshua Bell's still kind of that excitable guy, a good coach, I think, but he's not ready to turn it over yet. And it's not a horrible defense. He just needs to get a little bit more unpredictable sometimes. I think that would be the key thing. What do you think, Belton?
I'm with you. He has to. I feel like you just have to switch things up, right?
And on occasion, right?
On occasion. It doesn't have to be, you know, every play or none, but just enough where when it's that critical key moment, that's when you strike.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see it at all today.
It looked like Dave Dickinson used that his bye week, because his bye week was just the week before. It looked like he had game plans for both the Bombers and the Riders done up and completed.
He's made two pretty good quarterbacks. Their defense, their defensive coordinator has done a pretty
Bobby Slowick.
Bobby Slowick has done a tremendous job of making two very good quarterbacks, experience, and Zach Collaros and Trevor Harris, look very bad.
Yeah, he has. Chad up next. Chad, your thoughts on a 24-10 loss by the Riders?
Well, I think we were getting a lot of points, but it was a pretty simple game. The offensive line and defensive line of Calgary owned both sides of the ball.
Yes, they did.
Like, they are totally. I don't know who number 12 is for Calgary, but he might have got blocked once on 55 snaps today. He owned whoever the right tackle for the Riders is. That guy should, if this was the NFL, that guy would be cut because he never made a block all day. Number 12 owned him, whoever 12 is for Calgary.
Good choice, Chad. He's going to be the defensive game warrior for the Calgary Stampeders, so you're reading my mind.
He owned that, and he was talking after every snap, too.
Yeah.
Not only did he own him, he's in his kitchen all day now, rent-free. But I texted Jamie before the game. I'm like, I know it's just warm-ups, but Calgary came out with a ton of energy and warm-ups and looked like the Riders are just going through motions. Like you can never, it's tough to judge a game on warm-ups, but I watched warm-ups and I bet Calgary as soon as I watched the warm-ups.
Well, it's interesting, Chad, and I was pondering this based on that, on going, who's the emotional energy guy? Like, we know who it is for the Calgary Stampeders. We know. It's Vernon Adams Jr. The quarterback, he is a bundle of energy and emotion, and in a hard kind of game to maybe reset and get emotional for, it's not going to matter with Vernon Adams.
Yeah.
You know he's showing up. Who's that guy for the Riders? Who is? Go down the roster. Who's the rah-rah, let's go guy? Jamarcus Hardrick?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Like, there aren't a lot of, like, big-time, huge. They are just a collective group of men who just show up and do their job. And a lot of times do it well, except for today. Did not do it well today.
I was just thinking about last night, too. You know, Chad there talked about the energy and everything, right? The Stamps last night, they were out there throwing balls with the fans. Just, to me, that's energy, right?
Yeah.
The Riders, they just sat there and didn't do anything, right?
So, sorry, Chad, did you have another point?
No, I was just listening.
Okay. Sorry, Chad, as we continue here on the Green Zone post-game show.
Talking about last night. Sorry. Traveling Wilburys, right? Just singing. Somebody said last night it came up.
It's just out of nowhere. Jamie.
Once in a while, a tune
popping. He's singing over here.
Yeah. Sorry, Jamie. I know we're not allowed to sing, but I was just, everybody's talking about last night. It's an old Traveling Wilburys tune that just popped into my head. So I should have had my mic turned off. I realized that.
Traveling Wilburys here on the Green Zone post game show. We have gone delirious after a long show yesterday and back at it today.
We're allowed to be like this.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. We have to take another quick timeout. We'll get right back to the calls next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. We will get right back to the calls, but first, I'm a little late. Sorry, a little late to the play of the game.
Maybe it made you... It might have made you, or maybe just made you,
come on!
It's time for the play of the game.
I think a lot of people went, come on! With the play of the game tonight, Daryl Davis.
Well, Damien Alford, first pick, draft pick overall, wasn't he, by the Calgary Stampeders?
Yes, he was.
Had that first touchdown of his could have been, first quarter, could have been the play of the game, but the second quarter, even though at halftime it seemed like they were in charge. Calgary was in charge 17-3, but Robustelli makes finishes a drive with a touchdown to pull them within 17-10, and everybody's thinking, hey!
We got a chance!
Especially the way the Riders have rallied a couple times this season, right? Do you think that's a good chance? Until the very next offensive play when Vernon Adams drops back and throws deep to Alford. Antoine Brooks Jr., the rookie corner, is nowhere near him for an 81-yard touchdown to put Calgary ahead 24-10 early in the third quarter. And that was the end of the Saskatchewan Roughriders. And to me, that's the play of the game.
And the end of the scoring, too.
Yes, it was. It was
crazy. They went like 25 minutes at the end of that game. Nobody scored any points whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But Damien Alford's 81-yard touchdown in the third quarter to bring back the lead to 14 for the Stamps is our play of the game. But right back to the fan line. Guy or Guy, I'm not sure, in Fort Capel. Go ahead. What are you thinking tonight?
Boys, I've got one question in mind. And from that, from the half, I'm going, why did Corey Mace not pull Trevor Harris and put Jake Mayer in? That's why you have backup quarterbacks. If your top guy's not performing, go to your second one. And I think Jake, with the vendetta against Calgary, might have sparked that whole team.
It's interesting. I don't know at halftime. Anybody else was thinking change the quarterback at halftime? I don't think so. But there is a time in the fourth quarter where you're thinking, okay, do they need to make a change? But it's only a two-possession game. He did get them into field goal, or not field goal range, but within the end zone. Mm-hmm. The guy go for it on 3rd-and-3, didn't get it. And after what Jake Mayer showed last week, I didn't really think that he was the spark guy for the Rough Riders today, Daryl.
He doesn't throw interceptions, but neither did Trevor Harris today. But and was it worth a try? No. We thought late at the end they should have pulled Trevor Harris just to make sure he's safe because he's a starter. Jake Mayer is there to play when Trevor Harris is injured. So I don't think you make that change. I think that messes up the hierarchy because it's important to say we have faith in him. And he wasn't, even though we say he was bad, he threw for 400 yards. It wasn't a great performance by Trevor Harris, but it also wasn't a game-losing performance by Trevor Harris.
No. If he would have been throwing 2-3 interceptions, but
different story, right?
Different story.
Yes, yeah.
The defense also was getting absolutely gashed every time they were on the field. Mm-hmm. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. We go to Terry next. Terry, your thoughts on the Riders' first loss of the season?
Well, every point I wanted to bring up, you guys just stomped out.
So, oh, sorry, Terry.
Still bring them up. They're good.
Okay, well, what it boils down to me, the worst thing that happened to the Riders was the interception, first play of the game, and then they got that fumble recovery right away.
Yep.
And then it was just like doing, well, we got this game in the bag. And then they were flat the rest of the game.
Yep.
And then I was also going to bring up, though, why not pull Harris with 5 minutes left? And they were going nowhere fast.
Yeah, for sure. Should have been late in the game, right, that they should have pulled him. And your point's so great. Those first two turnovers that Calgary gave them, you think, okay, they got it in the bag, and maybe they thought that too, but they didn't even get a first down off either of those possessions, from what I remember.
They didn't get a first down until their fourth or fifth possession of the game.
First play of the second quarter is when they got their first down. So you're absolutely right. They took those two turnovers and thought, oh, this is a piece of cake, and never did anything with them.
And then got absolutely gashed for the rest of the afternoon by Vernon Adams Jr. To the tune. How many total yards did they end up with tonight, by the way? I haven't even. Do I want to know?
The Riders or?
No, net offense.
Oh.
448 or 548 yards net offense
for
the Stamps. 548 yards net.
Woo. I didn't see that coming.
Nope.
I didn't.
Nope.
Nor did I see a 4-1 record by the Calgary Stampeders coming, but.
Here we are, eh?
Yes.
We got grief for that, didn't we? From the Stampeder fan, gave us grief for that. Who saw it coming? I don't think anybody saw the Stampeders being 4-1 this year. That defense is all a bunch of new guys. Derek Moncrief, who was washed up 2 years ago, is one of the best players on defense in the CFL this year, and they're allowing 21 points per game, less than that now after giving up only 10 tonight.
Let's go to Morgan in Saskatoon. Morgan, your thoughts on a loss by the Riders tonight.
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Great.
Good, good. Yeah, you know, it was a tough game to watch. It's unfortunate that we're talking about a team that's lost one game and we're all hacking on them. Unfortunately, Dave Dickinson's brother's on the other side of the sidelines and he's probably smiling and loving life. You know, it is what it is. Shouldn't be folding tents yet. It's still early. Harris came back. Yeah, he was injured, right? Let him get his mojo back. Again, I'm like Sheldon with Calgary. I am not a Sask fan. I'm a Bomber fan, but I am a CFL fan. And you made the comment, oh, the Bomber fans are on a bye week. They're under the bridge or whatever. They don't ever come out and talk unless there's wins. So that's why I called in.
Good for you.
You know what? Like, Harris isn't a bad quarterback. He's been injured. You know what? Boys, girls, don't fold the tent. It's one game.
Thank you, Morgan. That is true, isn't it? Like, were you folding the tent last week when the Stampeders beat the Bombers? Not a chance. No way. This is going to be a heck of a race, I think. Mm-hmm. Watching these Stampeders, knowing what the Riders have, knowing what the Bombers clearly have.
Yes.
And hey, if Nathan Rourke wakes up in BC or Trey Ford in Edmonton,
yeah, they're competitive too.
Wild West. Fellas.
Welcome out from under the bridge, though. All right, appreciate you calling.
No, you're not a troll, Morgan. We're not referencing you as a troll. That was not the reference on the bridge.
That's what he said. He said they come out from under the bridge.
I don't think I said they come out.
No,
I
you just, didn't.
He under did. From a rock. That's what I said.
Okay.
Under a rock. Not a bridge. Rock. That's what it was. Thanks, Morgan. Now let's go to Dave. Next, Dave, what do you think?
Hey, guys. Three really quick things. I'll make it really quick for you. Number one, I was listening to you all night last night. Thank you very much for all the great work that you all did. Really appreciate it. Number two, Belton, I love you, man, but I tried to make you popsicle chicken sticks yesterday, and I failed miserably. So you're going to have to send them to me. Okay. And I'll pay you for it, Belton. You know I will. I just talked to you on Facebook.
Yes, sir. So,
number three, with regards to the game, of course, the Riders aren't going to win every single game. But the one thing that nobody's talking about is with people like Schaefer Baker out, and I can't pronounce the name of the other guy.
Sam Emilis.
Yeah, that guy. The people who are filling in for him, they did pretty good last couple games, and I think some appreciation could go to them. Anyways, guys, you did a great job last night and today, and I'm listening to you now, and keep up the great work.
Always appreciate your calls, Dave, out in BC, and... Are you shipping the pops, the chicken, bacon wrap, chicken lollipops.
They look like lollipops.
I told y'all it was hard work. It is, man.
You have to roll that chicken up the leg bone a little bit.
That's right.
Yeah.
And yeah, wrapped, I can see.
The impressive part
was
how impressive that bacon, how tight it was. You used a toothpick, of course, but just to keep it on there. But when you're Jamie, didn't you notice that when you're biting the chicken leg, the bacon stays on it. It's not as if the whole strip of bacon falls off. No. That's a secret. That's a chef's secret. I don't know how you do that. Because I'd wrap it, and I'd take one bite, and the bacon would be falling on my plate, right? So I don't know how you did that part, Belton. That's a secret.
Jamie and I, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson with you here on the Green Zone Postgame Show. You're going to hear from the head coach, the quarterback, game warriors, unsung heroes. It's all still coming on the Green Zone Postgame Show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.